I'm North Dakota Soybean Council Director Rob Rose of Wimmelin. NDSU Extension Weed Specialist Dr. Joe Eichley reminds soybean farmers the importance of pre-plant and pre-emergent herbicides. The North Dakota Weed Control Guide contains guidelines for effective and successful weed management, including rotating herbicides with different mechanisms of action. The most important strategies for effective weed management are: don't forget the pre, apply effective pre-emergence herbicides at full rates and include herbicides of multiple mechanisms of action. Pre-emergent herbicides will reduce weed emergence and allow flexibility in post-emergent herbicide application timing. Residual pre-herbicides applied to soil and an early post-emergent timing will suppress weed emergency through canopy closure. Use pre-emergence herbicides that will effectively control problem weeds. For more information, contact your local extension agent.
Good afternoon, friends. Welcome. It's Farm Talk. I'm Mick Kerr. On a much improved day around here, thank you, Mother Nature. All right, we're in the North Dakota Corn Council studio. It's a Friday. Doug Lear, North Dakota Game and Fish Department Outreach Biologist. Hello, Doug.
Hey, good afternoon, Mick. Good afternoon. We're 1 week away from the official Good Friday.
This is just a great Friday.
It's a great Friday.
Yeah, and every day is kind of good.
Yeah.
This one's much better than yesterday.
Didn't take much.
No.
I shouldn't be too down on it. I mean, I guess if you live in central Minnesota, it was worse than if you live in West Fargo. And if you lived in central North Dakota, you were hoping for some moisture.
Oh, my goodness. And Detroit Lakes eastward, 6, 7, 8 inches of snow. My goodness. That's ridiculous.
Now, I'm just a biologist, but I've listened to you long enough to know that 6, 7 inches of snow in April typically is going to have a lot more water content than 6, 7 inches of snow in January.
Correcto. And I would say probably had a half inch or more of water in it, what liquid equivalent. So, and that's okay because that's pretty sandy soil over there. They need it too, but western central North Dakota need it more.
What's it going to take to? I've listened long enough to know that we've been putting the blame on La Nina.
Mm-hmm.
So what we need is like Mother Nature and Old Man Winter to like slap La Nina to western North Dakota.
Actually, we don't want that to happen because La Nina kind of created dry weather. Although coming out of La Nina's usually means a rough winter, kind of like 1997 was that. And 2009 was that.
Right.
But this everyone is different. Weather is just so random and chaotic. And this one, this one is a wet weather maker.
Right.
Got another one next week, if you can believe that.
I believe you.
Yeah, here comes another.
I mean, weathermen sometimes might not be exact and precise, but I've learned to listen to you enough that you're just sharing what you know.
We're in a pattern.
Yeah.
And this pattern identical 7 days later. Don't complain too much if I let you know early that in a week, 6 days anyway, we could have some another nasty weather, high wind mostly, and a little snow and rain. April, one of the craziest months we have.
Let's go back to school.
Okay.
Okay, and next week I'm giving you homework for next week.
All right,
we're gonna have the quiz today and the test next Friday. But next week you're gonna explain to me that you have to have your how Easter is set with moon phases and everything like that because you always put me into school and I'm a poor student because I don't retain it.
All right,
but this week let's go back to school and I know some of the things that you've taught me is like about ocean temperatures and jet streams and air masses that create the stronger overbearing weather patterns or weather for the, so what's happening? I mean, is the ocean warming up, cooling? Is the jet stream moving or is it stuck? Why are we where we're at now, Mick?
It is the La Nina. We're trying to come out of La Nina, but it's persistent. It's not, the sea surface temperatures are not changing as rapidly as everyone anticipated. In fact, it's kind of what we call retrograded a little bit, gone back. But what's happening now for us is, remember what 2 weeks ago, Iowa had all those tornadoes?
Yeah.
And then Missouri, and before that it was in Louisiana.
Yeah.
So as the sun climbs higher in the sky, the jet stream moves further north.
Okay.
Because that is the transition, the river of air up there, that's the transition between the tropical air to our south, the air that eventually gets here in June.
Right.
But in the winter, really fights to stick around, because cold air is denser than warm air. So, but what's happening is spring storms are moving northward, and we just happen to be now under the jet stream, and they are steering. We haven't had much for storms. We've had some snow,
yeah,
had a lot of wind, but it's really been, we've maintained the drought here from January, February through much of March, very little falling precipitation. Well, now we're getting falling precip because we're underneath the storm path or the jet stream.
So it doesn't have as much like this recent snow, and I can't blame La Nina. And then I just think, well, maybe it's because they've got all the pine trees in Minnesota that they're getting all the snow, and then North Dakota is getting a little bit less precipitation, and out in central, and like when I'm listening to you going to extension agents in Rugby, and then out in Divide County and down in Linton, and I mean it's saddening, it's disheartening, it's tough, and it's all of the above.
Because that's pasture land and cropland. They need rain. They need moisture of any kind. And soil temperatures are up there where it would all soak in. And when the sun comes out, eventually, sun is out now.
Yeah.
But when it warms up more, the grass is going to green up and grow, and life will be good. But, we desperately need some moisture. So the weather has really been a turkey.
I mean, you have so many people, you know, from Dennis Bielski, and tell you how great that you are, and it's because it's true. Because you stopped me cold. Oh wait, no, a second there. Yeah. You got me right there, Mick. Yes, the weather has been a turkey.
It really has. Too bad we can't have hunting season on the weather, because the weather should be skinned and hung up and
prepared for Easter.
Correct.
We should be right. And what Mick is alluding to is, honestly, it doesn't really look like spring. It doesn't really feel like spring. I will tell you one thing that does look like spring. Okay, outside of, you know, depending on where you're at, whether it's brown or white or starting to green up just a little bit, if it's dry or if it's slushy. One thing, Mick, is that when I'm trying to wind down for the night and I look out the window at 8 o'clock and I go, it's still not really that dark out yet.
Yeah.
So one of the signs of spring and spring turkey season is the fact that the amount of daylight that we have. I wish I could do the math better. So this would almost be like where we're at in April would be like the equivalent of where we would be at like sun day length of
August.
Wow.
How about that, huh?
So we're in the dog days of spring.
Yeah, correct. Yes. That's a good way of putting it.
August.
Yeah. The September 21st is the autumnal equinox.
You can't say that on the radio.
Well, it's got more than four letters.
Autumnal.
So, yeah. And
you're going to start talking about, was it yesterday, the other day when you taught Dennis Bielski about orchestral. Orchestral,
yeah. Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
Autumnal.
Autumnal equinox in September 21st. So 1 month before, and we're not quite 1 month after the spring equinox. So the equivalent of where the sun is at, day length and all that. Yeah, so I would say about the 20th of August.
So you're gonna get people frustrated now with the reality of that we're not too far away from the day starting to get shorter again then.
Well, that's why they have spring football practice. I don't know, because days are about the same length here.
Yeah,
around Labor Day.
Okay. Yeah. Well, so all of that said, when we talk about weather and we talk about the length of days, we as the game and fish and the hunters and the anglers and the people that just enjoy springtime across North Dakota, Minnesota, and South Dakota. You've seen the robins, and some of them have been snow-covered, and you've heard the western meadowlark, the beautiful sound, and the snow geese have been flying on through. I've had people in western North Dakota talk about the first crocus of the year.
Yeah.
I was...
Kochia is emerging... No, sorry to be. Okay, haven't seen a cuckoo bird.
Yeah.
How's that?
No, I mean, you got to go to D.C. No, did I say that? they're all there. They get Easter break, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they go on Easter. I apologize for that. It's a poor taste. But the fact of the matter is, I saw a spider the other day.
Mm.
And when you have the insects coming out and the sights and the sounds of spring, the turkey season opens up tomorrow. North Dakota's turkey season opens up tomorrow, McCare.
A sure, absolute, positive, definite sign of spring.
It really is. It really is. You know, you got the Twins baseball this afternoon. You got the turkey season starting tomorrow. So if you're looking for those signs of spring. And one of the things that's always kind of interesting is, you know, if you go back last year and how early spring was, you know, it was an early spring last year.
And dry,
yeah, right, and dry. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you start thinking about turkey hunting, you start thinking about wood ticks, and you don't have to worry about wood ticks when it's been this cold. But the turkey season for a lot of hunters is really something they hang their hat on, because, you know, until we had the spring snow goose season that started about 1999, this was it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got a turkey tag and you went out there, you shot a gobbler, and maybe you had it for Easter. That wild turkey tastes so absolutely delicious. And, you know, we also, different than some years, is this year not as much of a concern about culverts and bridges and roads being washed out from spring melting and spring runoff, but we're really trying to spread the word about wildfires.
Oh yeah,
and that, you know, you might be listening in, you know, Fargo or Grand Forks or Lisbon or Hillsborough. If you get a turkey tag and you're heading, you know, west of 281, then you're talking about definite extreme dry conditions for anybody going out there, whether you're fishing, goose hunting, or turkey hunting. We want to make sure that people are aware of how dry it is and to be checking the fire danger index, Mick.
Excellent advice. And again, sorry to be Debbie Downer or Mickey Mortality here, but as folks are out there going after their gobbler,
yeah,
they're probably going to see some dead geese laying around, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, I appreciate you bringing that up. Let's talk a little bit more about that, because we have some things that we want to make sure people do, but then there's also some of the don'ts, some of the things that, and again, you might not be a turkey hunter or a goose hunter, but you might just be traveling out there. And if you see dead geese or, you know, a dead red-tailed hawk or something like that, we've got some things that we'd ask people to do, and then maybe some also things not to do, Mick.
Correcto. All right. All of that and more right after the break here in the North Dakota Corn Council studio. Friday, Doug Lear. This is Farm Talk.